Amen. Thank you, Pam. That sounded like Thanksgiving song, didn't it? Are you in the Thanksgiving spirit? Are you in the Thanksgiving season? Some of you are putting your thumbs up. Others are, maybe not. It's kind of hard to believe it's already here, isn't it? Although this has been a pretty long year in other ways. But, you know, Thanksgiving, it is a real, it's an amazing thing that as a nation, we set aside in an official proclamation a day to give thanks to God. That's who we are as a country, have been for so very long, and it is a wonderful thing, really. It's not that we shouldn't be thankful every day, but I think it's a wonderful thing that as a nation we set aside a day to say we depend on God, we need Him. And if you'll read the official proclamations, that's basically what it always says. I'm not sure a lot of people feel that way in their heart as they approach Thanksgiving, but we should. We should be grateful to God. And as we open God's Word this morning, I wanted us to look at a passage that might not typically be used as a Thanksgiving sermon, but I think it has in it some overarching things that help us to be grateful. Yes, we should be grateful for family, for our home, our possessions, all of those kinds of things. But standing above it all is God's good work. We can be grateful this Thanksgiving and every day that we have a God who is at work to do good, to do what is best for us in every situation. Even the things we don't understand, even the hard times. If you remember back to the first Thanksgiving, you know, it was after a lot of suffering, wasn't it? There'd been a lot of people die in a terrible winter and illness and all the problems that they faced. And then they had a great harvest and they wanted to give thanks to God for bringing them through, the ones who were still alive, to bring them through the terrible time that they had suffered and had blessed them with so many things. We can do that today too. No matter how hard the year has been, there's so much for us to be grateful for, to be thankful to God for. And so in this passage in Romans 8, beginning at verse 26, I'm going to read these verses. They're very familiar. Some of them are. But think about them in relation to being grateful to God for His good work. Likewise, Paul wrote, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What do we have to be grateful for? I would encourage you to think through a list or even take out a piece of paper and make a list of things you're grateful for this week. It'll surprise you how much you have to be thankful for. You may not think there's much, but there's a lot. In fact, if we really stopped and thanked, there would be more than we could even write down. But standing above it all is God Himself, and we should be grateful for Him. And that He is a God who is at work to do good in our lives. And that's what Paul is saying in verses 26 through 30. And this just precedes the rest of the chapter in which he talks about God's presence with us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And that God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's always with us. And He's with us in that He is at work to do what is good. So be grateful today for the intercessory work of the Holy Spirit. Verses 26 and 27. Did you know someone is praying for you? Someone is always praying for you. You may think you're all alone, but you're not. Because God is fully aware of your situation. And this is the promise in these verses that the Holy Spirit Himself is praying for you. It says there in verse 26, likewise the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, helps in our weaknesses. Weaknesses can mean all of what it means to be a human being, the frailties of life. It doesn't just mean proclivities to sin, but it also speaks of the human condition. The Spirit helps us in all the things we face in life. And then it says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever just tried to stop and pray and you didn't even know what to say? You couldn't find the words? Or maybe you've prayed a lot for a given person or a situation and you just kind of come to the end of words. You don't know what else to say. Well, that's when the Holy Spirit takes over. Because the promise is, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So this is the great and amazing truth that the Spirit of God Himself prays for us. And so someone is praying for you. And that someone, if nobody else is, the Holy Spirit is. But I have always believed that many times it's the Spirit of God who moves someone else to pray for you. You may not even know that they're doing it. Have you ever had somebody come to mind suddenly? Maybe someone you hadn't even thought about for a while, but their name, their face will cross your mind. Is that an accident? I think most of the time it's the Holy Spirit is bringing that person to mind. And we should pray for them in that moment. And I think that's often how the Holy Spirit works. So that somebody is praying for us. So you may never know that they're praying for you. But the Lord works in that way. Let's let God use us to pray for people. And if you think of someone, stop and say a brief prayer for them. Don't just let it pass. Don't just dismiss it. Don't chalk it up to just happenstance. The Holy Spirit is at work to help us in the situations we face. There was a song written a number of years ago. I heard it when I was a child, and it made an impression on me because that's really what it talks about. It's simply called Someone is Praying for You. Don't lose hope, the song says. Someone's praying for you this very day. And peace be still is already on the way. Someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for you. So when it seems you're all alone and your heart will break in two, remember someone is praying for you. I believe that. And we know from this promise of Scripture, at the very best, that someone is the Holy Spirit, but He also may be moving someone else to pray for you. And maybe He would move us to be that someone who is praying for a person who is in need. We may know their need. We may not even know what the need is, but the Father does. And so let us let God use us to intercede for those who are in need. There are so many who are in need today. And their greatest need is for the Lord Himself. And He can provide what is needed. And then in verse 28, one of the most popular verses in the Bible, one of the most often quoted verses, memorized verses, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. This verse is a great promise that God is at work to do good. It doesn't say that everything is good, does it? Not everything that we face in life is a good thing. I don't think God thinks death is good. I don't think God thinks illness is good. He didn't create the world that way, did he? We're in a fallen world as a result of sin entering the human race. And the whole creation fell. And so we live with the after effects of that. We live with a fallen world. And from the moment we begin to live, we actually, our physical bodies are dying. And that's just a reality. And we become keenly aware of that, maybe like never before this year, how tenuous life is, how it can change so suddenly, so quickly. That's the human condition in a fallen world. But in the middle of all of that, God takes all of that fallenness and all of that evil, and he can work to bring good out of it. And that's the great promise of God. No matter what you face, no matter how terrible it is or what your situation is, it's not that God is saying that particular thing is good, but God can bring good out of it. He can use it for good, and he is doing that, and we can trust him to do that. I don't know what he's going to do out of this bizarre year that we've had. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's doing something. And maybe, if nothing else, he's making us depend more on him. He's making us aware of how limited we are and how much we need him. And if that happens, that's a good thing. You see, what does this passage say, the good that God is doing? What is the purpose of it? Because it says, we know all things work together for good. To who? To everybody? No, to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. This is a promise to Christians. This is not a general promise to everybody. It's a specific promise to believers, to those who have put their lives in the hands of Jesus Christ, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And what is his purpose? Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, that's you. If you're a Christian, the Lord, he knew from before the foundation of the world that you were going to give your life to Christ. He foreknew you. He knew you before you were even born in this world or even conceived in your mother's womb. That's what the Bible teaches. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. A lot of times we get hung up on the word predestined. We don't see the rest of the statement. To me, I believe the fact that we're predestined, he is simply saying that all of those who will put their faith in Jesus Christ, he has predestined those to be the saved. That's the means of salvation. Only those who put their faith in Christ will be saved. Why do I say that? If you look at other passages of Scripture, the promise is God wants, he wants all to be saved. That's his desire. He is seeking to draw all to himself, not just a few, but everybody. John 3:16, for God so loved who? The world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's that whosoever again. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus said about himself in John 12:32, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. So God desires that all be saved, but not all will be saved, because there are many, as Jesus said, who will not walk through the narrow gate. They'll go down the broad way that leads to destruction. They will reject Jesus. He was lifted up for their sins. He is seeking to draw all to himself, but not all will believe. It's God, he has predestined that all of those who put their faith in Christ are the saved, are the called. It's a exclusive way. There's only one way. It's through Jesus. No other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way except Jesus. But that way is available to all. And once you hear the call and respond to it, then you belong to him forever. You belong to his family. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to what? To be conformed to the image of his Son. This is God's great work. He is at work in all things, through all things, to bring us to the place where we become more like Jesus. Did you know that's God's will for your life? That puts a whole different slant on everything you go through. That's why you can give thanks in all things, because God can take every experience, good and bad, painful and joyous, and he can use it that we might become a little bit more like Jesus. He's conforming us. He's shaping us. He's pressing us. He's molding us into the form that we become like Jesus Christ, because that is what God is after in your life and mine. And so anything that helps us become like Jesus is good. It's good. And if you think through your life, it's mostly the hard times of life when you have been driven to depend on Jesus Christ and driven to his word. Those are the moments that God has used to shape and form you more into the image of his Son. And so we've got to start looking at life through God's eyes. What is he after? What does he want in your life and mine? He wants us to be like Jesus. And so he's at work to bring together all things to bear that no matter what we face, we might become more and more like Jesus Christ. The way we think, the way we feel, the attitudes we have, the priorities we have. And someday when we step into heaven, we will be like him. That's the promise of Scripture. We will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And so God has initiated the process of salvation. He draws us to himself, and then he saves us when we open our hearts to him, and then he keeps us now and forever. And that's why verse 30 talks about whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. And so when you call on the name of the Lord and receive his love, you're justified. You're made just as if you never sinned. Is that something to be grateful for this Thanksgiving? God has forgiven you because of what Jesus did on the cross and in the resurrection. And whom he justified, he also glorified. He's in the process of making us become more and more like Jesus to reflect his glory. And someday we will be like him when we step into heaven. No more sin, no more in the presence of a fallen world, but in his presence fully and only. And so we rejoice in God's plan because of what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do. And I hope this Thanksgiving you will stop and give thanks to God that in all things he is at work to bring about what is good in your life. Trust him. And that gives us hope. Even in the darkest hour, that God is at work. And he's working in us. He's working through us to be a blessing to others. That's why Fanny Crosby wrote the song, Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance, she said, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Jesus, you see, has made you an heir, a joint heir with Him. And someday we're going to experience that to all of its fullness. That's about as good as it can be to be in God's will. So when you're in the middle of God's will as a Christian, you're in the will. Have you ever been in somebody's will? They left you something, something valuable. Well, you're in the will. You're in God's will. And that will is that you inherit eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We should be grateful for that. And we should be thankful to God for the blessed assurance that comes only through Jesus. So remember, when you face a hard time, maybe stop and even say, Lord, what are you doing? What good are you going to bring out of this? How are you going to make me more like Jesus because of what I'm going through? He may not answer you audibly at that moment, but His will be played out and His good work will be done. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank You that You are at work. You're at work right here in this place this morning. You're at work in the homes of people who are worshiping with us this morning. And we pray that You will work that we might become like Jesus, like our Savior who gave His life for us. If there are decisions we need to make, commitments we need to make, maybe it's to say, Jesus, I believe that You love me. I believe You died for me. I ask You to forgive me. I ask You to come into my life. I'm calling on Your name. Please save me. And we know Your word promises You'll do exactly that, Lord. So as people cry out to You, we pray that You will do exactly what You have said You will do and give assurance of the eternal life that is received the moment that You are received into their life. We pray, Lord, if there are other kinds of decisions we need to make, it may be to just let go, try to let go of control and just turn things over to You and say, Lord, I've made a mess of things. I don't know what to do, but I know You do. Lord, help us to do that, to just turn things over to You and to be willing to follow Your direction. Whatever is represented in terms of decisions that need to be made here this morning, we ask that You would now move among us, Lord, and help us to be obedient, help us to be faithful. And we'll give You the praise for how You work in Christ's name. Amen. I'll be up front.